Thank you for being here. Welcome to spring in Houston. I tell you what, listening to the news right now, it sounds like Armageddon is happening in Toledo. It's like, my goodness, it's in the 90s. Cry a river. But you were smart to be here in the air conditioning this morning. That's you're brilliant people. I like preaching to smart people. It's awesome. A couple years ago, we were in Botswana, Africa, and we were up in the Kalahari Desert. And this, I was preaching to smart people there too, but there was no air conditioning. And the reason they call it the Kalahari Desert is because it's a desert. And the desert is really hot. And we were in a room that should have had about 6 or 7 people in it and had about 40 people in it. And in some parts of the world, they believe that if the nighttime air blows on you, it makes you sick. And so in this particular area, they do. And so they had all the windows and doors closed so no one would get sick. And we had service. And you think it's hot outside right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, we had a good time and people accepted Christ as their Savior. And it was a beautiful, beautiful evening, but it was warm. And I just thank you that you're here. I'm happy that you're here. God is doing good things at McCord Road Christian Church. Pastor Benton preached an incredible message last week, wrapping up our last series. And I tell you, I think it's the best I've ever heard him preach. And so I encourage you, if you didn't get to hear it, go online and listen to it. It was awesome. It really was awesome. I took a lot of notes. It was good. I'm not kidding. That was rude. We have counseling for you after service. I'm playing. Okay, so today we're starting our next series, and it's the series Come Together, and we played that little part of the Beatles song Come Together because it's the only part that makes any sense. The rest of it makes no sense whatsoever. I've read a whole bunch of stuff about it, trying to figure out what the song actually means. And if you just want to be in for some pretty interesting reading, apparently the Beatles were in therapy at the time, and this was an outcropping. I'm not kidding. That's what they're saying. It's an outcropping of their therapy. And if so, they did great in therapy, I guess. It was good. But what they were talking about in that song and what we're talking about in this series Come Together is that it's amazing what can happen whenever people, good people, come together and to achieve something around a common cause. And that's exactly what we're doing as the people of God. We're coming together around a common cause, and that cause is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's a fact. I said good people because the God that we serve did not create any duds. There aren't any people in this room right now. There aren't any people that have been created that are just duds. God looked at them, he created them, and then he went, ah. Missed it on that one. I need to create another one and just, you know, maybe I'll get it a little bit better. No, even the one that's sitting right next to you right now, that, as hard as it is to believe, they're not a dud. They're exactly what Jesus meant them to be. You are exactly what God created you to be. And so when we allow God to guide us and direct us together, then we can achieve incredibly great things. When he empowers us to come together, and then, even more importantly, stay together, then great things can be accomplished in this world. And I'm thankful that Jesus brought us together. I'm thankful that we get to live life together, that he allows us to be in community with one another. And the scripture lets us know that the early church was very tight. It was so tight, in fact, and so community-oriented and so strong together that it literally took persecution to drive them out of Jerusalem to spread the gospel around the world. And when we think persecution today, we think that somebody went on a Twitter or Facebook rant about us and tagged us and said negative things, or maybe they looked at us and face to face and they said, I don't like you for this reason or another, and they, you know, pointed at our Christianity or our beliefs or our faith in some manner. In this case, people were being killed for their faith. When we're talking about Turkey and we're talking about other parts of the world, we're talking about a world in which things are very different than they are here. In fact, we were in Ghana, northern Ghana, Tamale area, teaching and preaching to and training some about 500 pastors. And in doing so, I did a question and answer session. And one guy, he raised his hand and he said, I'm planting a church in this particular village. And my question is this. I am the only Christian there right now. I'm working to move to build a church, but to spread the gospel in a mostly Muslim area, sometimes it takes 4 and 5 years even to have the first conversation because of the vitriol that will come from that moment. And so he said, listen, this is where I'm at and this is the situation. But my question is, when Boko Haram comes through the village and begins to take the young men and the girls and the villagers all scatter. And he said, my question is, when I hide from Boko Haram, am I denying Christ? Now, if I stand and declare who I am, I know that I'll be killed. My question is, should I stand and declare because sometimes I feel like I'm denying Christ? Now, I haven't faced that in a long time here in Sylvania. Tomball, that wasn't really a problem that I had to deal with. But that's the issue that he's dealing with. And I gave him the only question that I could. The only answer, rather, that I could. And that was a biblical answer. Sometimes Paul ran. And sometimes Paul stayed. The only answer I had, and the only biblical answer is, you have to do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do in that moment so that you can be the most effective for the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's going to be right to run and hide. And sometimes it's going to be right to stand and fight for the kingdom. Either way, just do what God's calling you to do, and I believe you're going to be okay. Here in our world today, we don't have this issue, but in the early church in Jerusalem, that's exactly the issue that they were facing. And we're going to look at it here in Acts chapter number 2. This is our text for this series, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I'm going to read fast. You read fast with me. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. Peter had just preached the first gospel message in the New Testament covenant, or the new covenant. Jesus had lived, died, and rose again. He had sent the Holy Spirit to come upon the New Testament believers, and now Peter was just preaching the gospel for the first time under this new covenant, and that's who he's talking to. And these are those who've believed. They were baptized. They were added to the church, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's an incredible story of how the early church was launched, how it really got started, and how they all came together. It was an infant church that was just really getting started, but they ultimately changed the world. And I believe that God has called his church, his people, I believe he's called you and I to be world changers. We're not supposed to simply be affected by the world that we're in, but we're supposed to impact the world that we're in, impact it for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a good place to say amen. All by myself, don't want to be. He's called you and I to be world changers. And maybe we can't be world changers by ourselves, but we can be world changers together. Together, we're doing mission ministry in countries around this world through people like the Mizras and others. We're involved in that. We're changing the world together. Changing the world together. When we talk about July 4th, and we're celebrating that this week, we're talking about the launching of what would become the United States of America. And it's said that the opening line to the Declaration of Independence is the most well-recognized sentence in the English language. In 1776, the cry was independence, and this declaration was signed. And it goes like this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our founding fathers, they were seeking independence and the ability to rule themselves. The 13 colonies, they were ending their relationship with England, but they were starting their relationship really with one another. They were establishing lasting relationships with each other, and they really executed their plan well to the point that we have a nation here today. They were ending their relationships of history, and they were intentionally launching relationships that would lead them into their future. They were leaving what they had been born as, and they were stepping into what they chose to be, and in their case, what they felt called to be. In some ways, that describes us here at McCord Road Christian Church. More than 50 years ago, a group of people led by Reverend Kenneth Evans launched something special. This is what this piece of property looked like before the building ever got started. It's the future home of McCord Road Christian Church, a Disciples of Christ church, led by J. Kenneth Evans. And if you look at that, if you blow up that picture, you see that the phone number on that sign is the same phone number we have today. 882-6703. If you ever needed to call the church, there's your opportunity. They launched that, and the dream was that we will build a family of believers here that will follow the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of the people that were there on that day are even here today. They left their historical relationships, and they launched into an intentional relationship here to build a body of believers. Today, McCord is growing very quickly. We are blessed in that. Pastor Benton said we're even growing through the summer, and he's exactly right. This year, we've seen 44 people baptized. We've welcomed 96 new members. Attendance has grown rapidly. Last week, we had 783 people in service. Can we say thank God for what he's doing? Thank you, Jesus, for what he's doing. He's doing it because people had a vision and they came together. Like the early colonists, we come from all kinds of different backgrounds, different places, and different religious heritages. How many folks in here were raised Catholic? Can you just raise your hand? All right. How many raised Lutheran? How about Methodist? Any Methodists? All right. How about Presbyterian? Okay, a few. I'm going to go out here. I thought I was going out on a limb, and I said Quaker in the last service, and several people raised their hand. Any Quakers? All right. How about Mennonites? All right. How about Baptists? Okay. How about Pentecostal? You got to be a little crazy when you're Pentecostal. You come on. I'm not sure how Pentecostal those folks were. I mean, they were just kind of like... How about Disciples of Christ? How about Congregational? Few. Any Mormons? Jehovah's Witness? I've pastored in places where those were two very strong histories. We've come from all kinds of different places, and now here we are in a non-denominational church. This started as a Disciples of Christ church. Now it's a non-denominational church. And this church made that decision many, many years ago. And we've continued on seeking to know who Christ was and what he's doing in this body more and more. Following Christ. But we came out of histories. We came together so that we can step into our future. by making McCord our home church. We said, this is where I'm going to build community. This is where I'm going to love and be loved. This is where I'll serve and be served. This is where I'll give and be given to. It's where I'm going to enter into reciprocal relationship. And this morning, if you're taking notes, the big idea, and you have the opportunity in your bulletin there to take notes, our big idea is this: managing what brought you together will keep you together. Managing what brought you together will keep you together. People come together all the time, but eventually fall apart. Businesses or people coming together, and then something doesn't work, and so the business splits up. Marriages, people come together, and then something goes wrong, and the marriage dissolves. Or churches. I was talking to somebody today, and they came up in a particular church in town that over time it just didn't work, and people split up, and it wasn't good. Now today, and in this series, we're going to be talking about often the church and how the church came together and how it stayed together. But in this, we're talking about any type of relationship and when being together matters. So if you're on a team, maybe you serve on a team here at the church, or maybe you're on a team in other areas of life. This will help you as a team member build a stronger team. If you're in a family, this will help you build a stronger family. Maybe you have a pack of friends that you run with. Then this will help you build a greater and tighter friendship as we intentionally move into this idea of coming together. And I have two thoughts for us here today. Now, I know for the OCD people, it's only two, it's not three. And we're passing out paper bags at the end of the service. So you'll be okay, all right? Everything will be fine. I'm sorry, I apologize for that. But if I was really sorry, I wouldn't have said it. Thought number one. Independence did not mean alone. Independence did not mean alone. The colonies were desiring the ability to make a choice. But they weren't trying to live life alone. They were intentionally seeking independence as a group. Massachusetts didn't say, we're going to do our own thing, and we'll fight the British for freedom, but then later on, Virginia can give it a shot. They all came together, and they fought together. They were liberated, but they were not alone. Moving from a relationship with England, they became intentional in their interdependence with one another. They had a unified purpose of building a great nation, and that brought them together, and it kept them together. The colonists were committed to helping each other succeed. One of the things, Christy and I, we celebrated our 21st anniversary this past week, and it was a great time. But the thing that I appreciate so much about Christy is I'm always knowledgeable of the fact that she has the us in mind. Whatever decision that she makes, I know that she's making it because she cares about our unity and what we are trying to accomplish together. I can't wait to talk to you next week about this because there's something. Oh, I got to leave it alone. Next week's going to be awesome. Just saying. Just putting it out there. The colonists did this, but so did Israel. Israel went through all kinds of times where they could have split apart, but the tribes of Israel said, no, we're going to stay together. In fact, whenever they were crossing the Jordan River going into the Promised Land, a couple of tribes hung back and said, listen, we're going to just stay on this side, and you guys can go over to the other side. We're not going to take that land over there. We're going to take this land right here. And Joshua said, that's cool if you want to do that. No problem. But you're sending your men, your fighting men over here, and you're going to help the rest of the nation take this land that God has promised us. And then when it's all done, you guys can go back to where it is that you want to live, and that's going to be absolutely okay. But we're doing this together as a nation. All of us are going to help one another succeed. And in fact, the Bible says that that's exactly what the New Testament church did. The new believers were stepping into their liberty in Jesus Christ, but they weren't determined to live alone. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 2:44, which we read, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. In fact, we just read that they sold things to be able to help other people. Now, I want you to notice something. The scripture never says that God told them to do that. He never said, you must do this, or you are, you know, against me and not doing what I've called you to do. It's what they chose to do because they wanted to be together. They were pushing for unity, so they made sacrifices personally in order to help the whole, in order to help the call, in order to help the cause. An independent spirit or an independent attitude can hurt a church. It can hurt the individual. It can hurt the family. Yesterday, Christy got up and she decided she was going to make breakfast. And so in doing so, she made a lot of pancakes and she made a lot of eggs and she made a lot of bacon. And that's how we knew the Holy Spirit was working in our house yesterday. And so we sat down around 8:30, 9 o'clock with the two boys and Christy and I, and we ate breakfast. And somewhere around 10 minutes to 12, I looked at the clock and realized we'd been sitting there the whole time just talking between the four of us, just communicating. And it was a beautiful time together. And finally, we realized we got to get some things done today or, you know, it's not going to be good. And so we split up and we went and did our thing. Now, if Christy had just gotten up and said, you know what, I'm going to make myself a pancake and one egg and one strip of bacon, then I would have said thank you. That's a joke. See, if she'd have done that, we wouldn't have had that beautiful moment together as a family. But she didn't. She went the extra mile. She made the extra effort in order to be able to bring us together as a family so that we could build relationship and bond as a group. And it was absolutely awesome. Oftentimes, Christians are hurt. They're hurt by the church. People are hurt by the church. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Do not raise your hand if you've been hurt by the church. But I will tell you, I've been hurt by the church. In fact, the church has hurt me sometimes more than people who were not Christians has hurt me. I just told you that Christy and I have been married for 21 years. And there is nobody on earth that can hurt me more than she can. She can. And she doesn't have to say anything. She can just look at me. And I feel like a fish that has been filleted. Just absolutely, I'm deboned. Everything's done. I am over. And she never even said a word. And What do I do? Sometimes I'm preaching and I'm trying to figure it out. What do I do? What?
Stole my pancake.
I stole your pancake? I did not steal pancakes. We can always be hurt most by the things that are closest to us. They say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, but I don't believe that. I'd say keep your friends close and keep your enemies far enough away to where you can still use a gun. Now that goes over really well in Texas. I don't know how... I don't know if I'm going to get emails about that later, okay? Everything's legal. I just want you to know I'm on record here. So sometimes people say, well, you know, I've been hurt by the church. And I will say that the church has been hurt by people too. Sometimes the church is in a place where, as a body, it's trying to reach and the world and bring the gospel to people who are yet unreached and minister to children and minister to students and minister to families and help those who are in need. And so the church will sometimes say, hey, we need some help in this particular area. Or here's an opportunity to serve. Here's an opportunity to be used of God in a particular way. And people say, you know what? I'm going to attend, but I don't need to get involved that way. I don't need to get engaged in life groups. I don't need to serve in kids ministry. I don't need to do those things because that's just, they don't need me in that. And you, I mean, you're probably going to heaven, but you're wrong. You're wrong. The church does need you. We need each other. You need me. I need you. We all need us. In order to accomplish the things that God has set us out to accomplish, the thing that He has called us to accomplish. Our faith and the desire to live out that faith in community, it brought us together, and we must manage the thing that brought us together and allow it to keep us together when things are tough. Because sometimes the drama gets high. There's sometimes where Christy and I just have not gotten along. But yet, we stayed together. I was talking to a couple, actually, it wasn't them, but I just heard today that Mr. Dwayne and Miss Jane celebrated, I think, their 62nd anniversary this past Friday. Pretty incredible. I was asking a man one time that was was celebrating something of that nature. I said, "Man, how did you do that?" He said, "Don't leave." I said, "No, how? Okay, but how?" He said, "No, sometimes it just comes down to I will not leave." Sometimes it's not that difficult to understand. It's just difficult to do. The drama gets high, you want to go. Sometimes it's a shame of failure or a problem that comes up in our life, and we say, I don't even want to see anybody at church right now. I don't want to see anybody from the church right now. I just want to get away from everybody because I did that thing and I said that thing or I had that attitude. And the longer you live together and the longer you're with each other and the longer you share life experiences, the more opportunity there is for people to see that you're not all that in a bag of chips. That you've got your problems. The other day I was having a conversation in the office and I realized that my carnality was getting a little bigger than my spirituality. And so I finally just said, I need to shut up right now. And if you're a child in here and your parent says, don't say shut up, don't say it. But I just needed to shut my mouth in that particular moment. And the people that work closest with me, they're going to see that. And they're sworn to secrecy. You're going to see that. So sometimes the carnal nature in our life says, wait, I don't want to see anybody. But here's the fact. The Bible says that we are to lift up our brother and sister when they're in a fault. That we are the spiritual ones are to restore people to strength. And so I can't be restored to strength by my brothers and sisters if I separate myself from my brothers and sisters. If I'm not in a life group, I don't have the opportunity to be strong with other people. And in fact, I don't have the opportunity. I am not giving them the opportunity to be strong because they're in relationship with me. Sometimes you think it's all about you, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you are there for someone else. You're there to give your strength to the situation. God called us together, and it's easy to mistake liberty or independence as complete self-reliance, but it's not the same thing. We are interdependent by choice. We need one another. And that brings us to thought number two, and that is the content of your soul drives the declaration of your life. The content of your soul drives the declaration of your life. Patrick Henry was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And you know, Mr. Henry did not waltz into the room that day and say, hey, let me read over that declaration and determine what it is I think we ought to be saying and how we ought to be doing this, and maybe I'll sign and maybe I won't. None of them did that day. In fact, they were putting their lives, their families, their fortunes, and their futures on the very line. They knew that if this did not work, they would lose it all. And so they were putting it all out there in order to achieve this great goal. And Patrick Henry, he said in a famous speech, and as I read this quote, you're going to recognize it, most of us. It was at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. He cried this. He says, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Give me liberty or give me death. That speech was made on March 23rd, 1775, a year and 4 months before the Declaration of Independence was written and signed. The desire for liberty was deep within him. And it was coming out of his mouth. It was the declarations of his mouth. And it was, in fact, what was in their soul that caused them to declare this thing that actually drove them to write the Declaration of Independence, that actually pushed forward this thing called the Revolutionary War and ultimately birthed the nation that you and I are privileged to be in today. It was in their soul before it ever came out of their life. I believe that you and I have been prepared and positioned as individuals and as a church by our Father for the moment that we're in. The desire for liberty rested deeply within their heart and within their soul. And ultimately it was expressed, and it has been expressed in our lives through coming together as a church and becoming McCord Road Christian Church. The new church in Jerusalem, it made such an incredible impact that the status quo turned against them. Everybody turned against them. Now, what would it look like if we were so effective for the gospel of Jesus Christ that everybody and everything that was against the cause of Christ turned against us? What if nobody liked us? We win awards in Sylvania for being an awesome group of people. We do. It sits in the office. You can go see it and touch it if you want to. This church blesses our community beautifully. And we're proud to do it. We'll continue to do it. But what if that changed? What if the cause of Christ was so great and so deep in our life? And what if the people around us were so against? What if the powers that be were so against the cause of Christ that they suddenly said, you cannot teach or preach in this name anymore? Would we be so committed, and are we so committed to the cause of Christ that we would go against that? Would be success. That would be success in your life. That would be success in my life. The fact is, that which is within us is the thing that becomes declared from us. We are children of God. And when that's in us, then when we meet somebody who doesn't know Jesus, no, we don't smother them with everything, and we don't beat them on the head with a Bible, and we don't do crazy, but what we do is we intentionally push forward the gospel into their life. Not because they're bad people and we're trying to make them good, but because they're people who need a Lord and Savior who can make their life incredible and who can make their eternity secure and who can cause them to know a life beyond their wildest imaginations, where their soul is saved, and the day that they leave this planet, they're not in danger of anything negative, but they have all positive to go to. And so it's not out of holier than thou attitudes, and it's not because of mean spirits, but because it is love that drives from deep within us something that we know to be true, that we know to be sure, and it causes us to declare it from our life each and every day, in the words of our mouth, the actions of our life, the attitudes of our heart. Because what is in our soul becomes the direct declarations of our lives. When it's in your heart, you fight for it, you plead for it, you convince for it. Don't tell me you care about something that you're not willing to fight for. Don't tell me you care about something that you're not willing to sacrifice for. I have some declarations. This is a week of declarations, so I have some declarations for us this morning. Here they are. I declare that God has brought you and I to this place on purpose. I declare that McCord Road Christian Church will make a difference that hell will notice. I declare that McCord Road Christian Church will see more souls saved in the next 12 months than in the last 12 months. That we will see more baptisms than we've seen before, and that more lives will be changed than ever before in this church. I declare that McCord Road Christian Church will be stronger, more impacting, and more intentional, even as we are more joyful and powerful through Christ Jesus. I declare that he has a plan, and that it includes joining what is in your soul with what is in my soul. And I declare that as we manage what brought us together, it will keep us together. And what will be accomplished will be, bring glory to our God. I believe that with everything in me. If you agree, let's stand together right now. And let's just thank God for doing what only He can do in our lives.